Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 39 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the red, bad, slightly mad creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic. And, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also, as I know you know, have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And as I have been mentioning week after week, you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And yeah, so today's show is going to be a bit unusual in that it really has no topic. I just have a few things that I wanted to get off my chest, and so I just decided to kind of wing it. So if structure is what you are looking for today, or you are poised to receive some big, insightful message, you might as well tune out now. And there's probably going to be more giggling than usual because I really don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just going, like, you know, fly by the seat of my pants here. I also have the rainbow wheel, the infamous rainbow wheel going on my computer, which is driving me nuts right now. And I wanted to talk about swearing, which I'm very tempted to do because I just totally wrestled with my computer. Yeah, that's what prompted this show. Swear words, curse words, bad words. And I meant to look up the etymology of curse words. Maybe if I have time at the end, I'll Google while I have you on the line here. But someone that recently found my show and listened to a bunch of different episodes and has been watching my videos online complained that I curse and swear and I do occasionally, I guess, throw out, you know, an F-bomb. I have the word shit in my ebook, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. But I think what they were most offended by was the word kick-ass. She said something about how I'm always going on about with this whole kick-ass thing. And unfortunately, that is the name of my business, Kick-Ass Witch, and it's all about creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. And for me, the word kick-ass is not a swear word or an offensive word. It's an empowering word. It's about empowering yourself and kicking ass in the world and going out and, like, being bold and courageous and, you know, flipping the bird to whatever fears that you're having. So for me, I love that word, and I chose it very consciously and specifically because I wanted to create a polarizing business. I have been a polarizing person for, I guess, most of my life, even within my own family. You know, I'm not a Christian. They have issues with some of my career and project choices, and I've always been a little bit out there, so I'm used to that energy of not being for everybody. And I sort of rebel against that too when I feel like someone is disapproving of me, or I take that as kind of someone trying to control me. Don't tell me what to do. And I felt very controlled as a little kid, and so I think I just have a natural rebellion about that. And I purposely named my business Kick-Ass Witch because I wanted people that came by to see, like, oh, this is totally for me, or, oh, this is totally not for me at all. I wanted there to be no confusion about that. And, you know, the ebook that I give away for free has the word shit built right in, even though it is positive, even though everything that I am saying is about empowering yourself, you know, and creating a magical, happy life. That's the package that is coming in from me, and that is what I wanted to see in that market. That, for me, is what was missing in that market, and I knew that's what I could provide because that's who I am. I'm just being myself. And if you know me from before Kick-Ass Witch, or if you've gone back after finding me through Kick-Ass Witch, you will see that that is very much who I am. I've done a lot of art projects that involve the darker sides of life, expressing my anger specifically. Like, I have a lot of kind of angry art out there. I write and front a punk rock band called Obedient Waves, and we swear all the time. And not only that, we scream and yell. One of our songs is called Get the Fuck Out. I did a coloring book for grown-ups called Will Work for Food, and that is more of, like, I guess my shadow side. You know, we all have one, and I'm not really one to express that in my day-to-day life. I am a pretty kind person. I'm pretty bubbly, so it surprises people that I have that in me. But I think dumping your anger or your negativity on other people is just a downer, for one, but it can also be really abusive. So art has always been an outlet for me in that way. And for me, I'm actually surprised that the word kick-ass offended anybody, because it seems so unoffensive to me. But Kick-Ass Witch is not about getting my anger out at all. This is a project that, in my opinion, is like the lightest and the happiest that I've ever done. And when I say Kick-Ass Witch, that encompasses Hippie Witch, this podcast. This is, you know, one of the projects. Kick-Ass Witch is the umbrella. Then I've got Sad to Sexy, Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year, Hippie Witch, Every Witch Way. It's all under that umbrella. And I think, you know, beyond the word kick-ass, when I do use swear words from time to time, it's either to make a point or just because I'm having fun and being silly. And I do understand that it offends certain people, but for me, it's just about freedom and boldness and release. I definitely do not pepper my everyday language. You know, every other word is the F word. But I do like, you know, a well-placed fuck sometimes. It is called for. And it's the only word that will do in certain situations. And I know you probably know, if you listen to my show, that I grew up in a very conservative Christian home. Everything was about Jesus. And so obviously we were not allowed to swear or we would get in big trouble. And besides the usual swear words, you know, that most kids are off limit to, I mean, we could not say dang. We definitely couldn't say damn, but we couldn't say dang because it was the slang of damn. We couldn't say but, crap, piss, any use of God out of its proper context. And, of course, the same goes for hell and all kinds of words. We're off limit to us. And I used to actually go in my closet as a kid when I'd get really upset, or sometimes just because I felt like it, I would lock myself in my closet and sit in there and, like, say my entire repertoire of swear words, which was very small back then. I did not have access to many swear words, but I would just sit there under my breath going, shit, fuck, shit, 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 piss, shit, piss. And I have to say, it did make me kind of happy. It made me feel like I was getting away with something. And then when my mom would swear, she would always say either, you know, if she, like, hurt herself doing something or was really frustrated or she broke one of her acrylic fingernails, she would say, sugar, or dadgummit. She had another one. Oh, God bless it. Sugar, dad gummit, and God bless it were her main swear words. And she would say them just like they were swear words, but I guess she had an amazing sense of self-control. And I don't think I've ever heard her swear, which is why she refuses to listen to Obedient Waves. and is always, you know, oh, mortified by the stuff that I put out into the world, but I do it anyways. but I remember, too, one time, she was standing up on a ladder doing something up high. I can't remember what it was. She was always making something and rearranging our furniture, and she hurt herself, and she said, dadgummit. And I remember being a smartass and being like, you know, Mom, I think that God cares about the intention behind your word, and that, you know, you're hurting God's feelings just as much. If you say dadgummit is God damn it, and it's really just the same thing, but just kind of scrambled around, and somehow she ended up agreeing with me. And I now looking back, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that to my poor mom, because she was already, you know, trying to be the most perfect Christian ever, 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 and not say any bad words or anything. But that was a funny moment for me. But I do think there's something to intention when you're using so-called bad words or curse words. And I know that the person who inspired this podcast, she did specify that the reason why the word kick-ass and me swearing bothers her is because she grew up in an abusive home. And so that just is a trigger for her. And I fully understand that. And the way that I can relate to that is I have my own set of bad words that I don't like other people to say. And the number one, I won't even say it in telling you what it is, but we'll call it the R word. And the R word, let's just say I have a son with special needs, and I think that when people throw this word around as slang, that they don't understand how they are potentially hurting the feelings of someone around them, a parent that has a retarded child or a child with autism or somebody who has a mental handicap. Or even worse, that actual person. And I don't know, I've always been a person who's fairly empathetic to other people's feelings, and I hate that look on someone's face when they're trying to laugh when they've had their feelings hurt, you know. Gosh, I'm overly sensitive about this because it actually makes me want to cry thinking about the times I've heard someone say that word and at a special needs school and watching, you know, this kid's face crumble. It really disturbs me, and it's become like just this funny slang word that has made its way into our language so pervasively that I've given up on trying to tell people that it offends me because it's just everywhere. But I will not use it, and people who know me well do not use it around me because I just don't like it. It hurts my feelings, and I don't like it. I also don't like the N-word, which I also have a huge problem when people say, even African-Americans who use that word as a sense, they find it empowering because now they're using it instead of it being used at them or as a label for them. They're, like, reclaiming that, and I totally get that. The B-word, bitch, I don't have as big a problem saying it. I know a lot of women have you know, repurposed that word for themselves and call their friends bitch and themselves bitch, and it's supposed to be empowering, but I don't really find it empowering. So that's another one that kind of bothers me. I've gotten used to it over time, but those are my three bad words. And I'm just saying that and so that you know I totally relate. I'm not upset that this person has a problem. I'm just saying, if we were friends and I knew that about you, I would respect that and I would refrain from using it around you. But this is my house. These are my rules. Did I just quote Miley Cyrus? Oh, shit. oh, shit is a favorite swear word here at my house with me and Billy. We do it a lot because it makes us laugh. But, yeah, this is kind of my house. This is where I hang out, and this is where I am me, and I express myself, and I'm just being myself. This is who I am. This is how I talk. So when I am here, I'm going to talk how I talk and let the chips fall where they may in terms of who it's going to resonate with and who it's going to turn off. And, you know, if it turns you off, if this is not a show for you, if my videos are not for you, if my swearing offends you, or you want to listen to someone with a more reverent style, there are so many people out there for you to listen to. There are way more people like that than me, which is why I wanted to start Kick-Ass Witch in the first place, one of the reasons. And, I mean, if that interests you, you can start with someone like Marianne Williamson or Louise Hay, and that whole world, the whole New Agey spiritual world, there are plenty of people that have a very reverent style. When I say that one of the reasons I wanted to start Kick-Ass Witch, which eventually led to Hibby Witch, this podcast, was because this is a voice that was missing for me in this world, and I knew that I wanted to have a different kind of voice in the New Agey spiritual world, because I really hate when people talk like this. It drives me up the wall. In Love and Light, I can't stand it. It drives me crazy. And there are so many people that talk in this way, that talk about things I'm very interested in, but it's the delivery, and I don't really know why, but it really, really just drives me crazy. And I love the information. That's, I think, why I like books so much, because you can't really hear the delivery of the person so much. But I don't even know why. I don't know why that bothers me. But when people talk in a very, like, soothing, happy, sparkly way, it freaks me out, and I just have to shut it off. It just, like, ooh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. There was one author who I will not say, because I have mad respect for her, and I completely love her and her work, her ideas, everything she has to say, but I was so into her, and I went to get an audio of what she did, and she had one of those voices, and there was music in the background. Harps playing, and I was just like, no, no, no. And you shut it off really fast, like, la, 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 I did not hear that. The music in the background really makes me crazy, too. That New Agey plinky, plunky. It drives me crazy. And I know my personality, like, when I first got on YouTube, I got messages from people like, whoa, bring it down. I know, like, this whole, like, woohoo, happy, in-your-face, bubbly thing rubs people the wrong way as well. And that's kind of my point today, is we all have words that trigger us. We all have personalities or styles that get on our nerves, and then ones that we gravitate toward. And so I am encouraging you to gravitate toward who you gravitate toward, and listen to who resonates with you, and ignore the rest, including me. You know, I do not have a monopoly on the truth or all of this fabulous information. A lot of what I talk about is already out there. I'm just giving it to you in a different package. And I think for me, what resonates with me, there are other people. I'm not saying I'm the only one that talks like this in the New Agey world or in personal development. I really gravitate toward people like Anthony Robbins, Carolyn Mace, Robert Ojado. I really like that kind of just straightforward, bah, this is how it is kind of delivery. You know, and Robert Ojado, he's my favorite podcaster, I think, at least in the spiritual world. I have a bunch of people I like to listen to about nutrition and science and stuff like that. But in terms of New Agey, I can listen to Robert Ojado all day long. That guy is just speaking my language. And speaking of, this is my house, these are my rules, I think I'm going to be making some new rules and kind of testing myself in a way. I'm a little bit afraid to do this, but if you know what, if you listen to my show, around my 40th birthday, I gave myself a word that I was going to work with for the entire year of being 40. I chose the word faith. So this is one of those times when I'm testing my own faith, because I think I'm going to disable the comments on my YouTube videos. And the reason for that is there's a couple, but Google Plus definitely is a motivating factor, because that has made approving comments and answering comments such a nightmare. And sometimes I can't even answer people's comments. They'll leave a comment, and I kind of pride myself on always answering people back, and now it's, like, bugging me that so many people are going ignored. I'm not ignoring you. I totally love you. Google Plus won't let me answer you. But also, taking up a lot of my time even before that. I get really nice feedback on YouTube. I rarely get haters, like rarely. And if they do, there are people that, you know, think that I'm an evil witch and I'm going to hell and they want to preach the gospel to me. I rarely get people that are, like, attacking me on a personal level. So it's not about that. I love the feedback. I love the comments. It's just that I am finding the management of social networking to become, it's starting to become overwhelming for me. I've talked a little bit about this already, and it's really just reached a peak where I'm realizing, hey, I started Kick-Ass Witch because I wanted to be helpful. I wanted to make inspiring things for people. I wanted to put out programs and ebooks, and I haven't even gotten around to all the cute little drawings and posters and stuff I want to make. And a lot of what I'm doing is answering emails and, you know, managing the comments on my two different YouTube channels and stuff like that. I've really pulled back on Twitter. I enjoy Facebook, so I think for now I'm going to focus on Facebook and my emails. And I'm scared to take the comments down, to disable the comments, because I feel like that's my connection with you guys. And obviously I enjoy the comments because they're always so sweet and nice and empowering, but I feel like, okay, I get it. You know, you like me and I like doing this, and it's all good and it's all love. And I think I'd rather spend that time making more content. And it's not even that it's taking up a ton of time. It does take time, but it also just takes up brain space and kind of starts wearing on me after a while. When I first started on YouTube, it was a way for me, you know, to join in the community and have a voice and share my ideas and listen to other people sharing their ideas. And it was so much fun. It was when I was really coming out of my post-traumatic stress disorder. So it was a good challenge for me and a way for me to connect with other people. And it was very healing for me. And so I will always cherish, you know, that early time on YouTube. It meant a lot to me. You all that were a part of that meant more to me than you will ever understand. And I loved watching other people's videos and leaving comments, and then I, like, relished each and every comment that I received. But as my channel got more popular, even as it got more popular, I still prided myself on answering every single message, you know, like, no comment left behind. But back then, I really had no intention of turning my video hobby into a business. That didn't happen later until, I don't know how much later, but I started to realize that the videos that I most enjoyed doing and that got the best feedback were the ones in which I felt I was being of service. You know, I was offering advice or sharing what I had learned on my path that I thought might be helpful to other people. And I just got this big idea to combine what I do as an illustrator and a writer and performer and then pair it with this spiritual concept of being of service. I wanted to take what I had been doing all my life with the drawings and the art and make it about you rather than just expressing myself. I was listening to a lot of really inspiring entrepreneurs and speakers that were talking about, you know, if you want to have a business that you don't get sick of and that lights you up and lights other people up, focus on being of service. So that's what I did. And I wanted to be helpful. But the thing is, when you put yourself out into the world and say, I want to help people, many people will come to you looking for help. And at first I thought this was amazing. I got all these emails from people telling me, you know, their life story and sharing with me and asking for advice. And I was extremely happy to do it and glad to be there and thrilled to be of service. But after a while, I realized it started feeling like a job, and then it started feeling like a job that I wasn't getting paid for. So not too long ago, a couple months ago, I just said, you know, the next time somebody asks me if I'm willing to work with them one-on-one, like in a coaching kind of situation, I'm just going to say yes and see where it takes me. And then less than 24 hours, somebody contacted me And I said yes. So I have been working with her once a week and doing these one-on-one phone calls, and I really love it. So I've got my first one-on-one client, and I'll probably open it up to more, but I don't want to work with more than like five people at a time because of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about setting healthy boundaries for myself. And so I'm probably not going to be the Dear Abby of emails anymore. I really need to pull back on that. And so please don't be offended if I'll probably write you back if you send me some long personal message, but I'm not going to be able to keep going back and forth with you and help you out of your situation. I will in the future be offering that for people, but for now I'm going to focus on the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year program, doing this show for you every Tuesday, a newsletter every 2 weeks. I have another Sad to Sexy round coming out for the new year, so I've got lots to do, and I'm hoping in setting this boundary and having faith that you all aren't going to go away just because you can't comment or I can't comment back to you on YouTube. I'm hoping in doing that it will free up more time for me to be of service to more people instead of, you know, sitting there, whatever, wasting my little brain cells, the ones that I have left and devoted to write and to think and to help people, instead of wasting it in like a comment section on a social networking site, I'd rather pour that into a program or a radio show for you guys. So I know setting boundaries are important. That's actually something I've been talking about with this one-on-one client, setting boundaries, which got me thinking, like, what boundaries do I need to set? Because I've sort of painted myself into a corner here, putting myself out into the world so much, and how can I set boundaries that make it more comfortable for me? And, you know, I have a life outside of this, too. I take care of my son, who, you know, has special needs, so he is time-consuming, totally lovable, and I'm happy to do it, but he takes a lot of my time, and then I'm, like, the primary housekeeper and cook around here, besides all the other things of life that we all have going on. So this is a new boundary that I'm setting, and I'm trying to keep the faith here that it's not just going to ruin Kick-Ass Witch and that you all will still come around. And you can always contact me on Facebook. That's where I'm really going to start focusing those interactions. I'm at Joanna DeVoe on Facebook if you haven't found me there yet. And I check that, you know, throughout the day. It's easy just to be, you know, comment really quick. Whoops, 90 seconds. I didn't know if I would be able to even go 30 minutes this time. I was like, all I want to do is say, I'm not going to stop swearing, and I am going to disable the comments on my YouTube videos. But apparently, I have the gift of the ramble, and I can go. So, yeah, the next installment of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year is going to be for Winter Solstice, and that will be happening next week. Next week, I will be launching the Winter Solstice module, so you will be seeing videos and blog posts about that. Tonight, I'll be sending out another newsletter called the Moldavite Necklace. I already know what I'm calling it. I just haven't written it yet. And that's it. I will see you next Tuesday, or I will be here for you next Tuesday. You can hear me if you wanna. Much love to you. Peace.